Praise God. God is so good, and we have been blessed today. We've got a lot of folks here. We got some visitors here, and we just appreciate all of you that are in the service this morning. I want to also express appreciation to Brother Darrell, his wife Vicky, and to some others who helped him put together Christmas treats. We still do the old-fashioned bananas, apples, oranges, candy, bars, and such as that. That'll all be at the close of the service. When you leave, be sure to pick up one of those. But thanks so much to Brother Darrell and his effort to put that all together. Amen. Amen. We're going to read in Matthew's Gospel. This is the same text that was in the adult Sunday school lesson today. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're also going to continue with the theme that was being sung about here by the choir. I believe in miracles, and I believe that Christmas is a wonderful miracle. A wonderful miracle. Amen. Let's read here Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, and we'll read down through verse 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, there are a lot of people in our world today that are skeptics, a lot of people that are agnostic. They don't believe in anything miraculous. They certainly don't believe in Jesus, and they certainly don't believe in the Bible. They don't see the importance of the church. There's just a lot of people today that have pushed aside the very things that, you know, if it can't be explained rationally, if there can't be a human explanation for it, then a lot of people today who think they're very knowledgeable and educated, they just want to push it all aside and act like it's not real. Well, one fellow that was one of the most intelligent people, I don't think he was a Christian, but he was a man that believed in the miraculous. His name was Albert Einstein, who said, there are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. I choose the second, because I do believe, especially once you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your eyes are opened. And you move into a whole new world, a whole new realm of understanding. You begin to understand the things of the Spirit. You begin to understand the plan of God, the plan of the ages through Jesus Christ. As it comes into clear view, then you begin to realize that God is a God who works miracles. And that He is a God of the miraculous. And we can see it. Everywhere, in everything, we can see miracles. When you become a Christian, then you see everything differently, everything from a complete different perspective, and you see the miraculous in everything. Praise God. You see the miraculous in creation. When you look around And when you read about the foolish ideas of the way that people explain how our world and how our universe came into an existence, you know, a big explosion and everything just fell into place. And everyone is just like, what? How could that happen? It couldn't happen. It didn't happen. We understand that there is an intelligent designer, God, the planner of the ages, who was the creator of everything that is. And we see God the creator, God the miracle worker, even in creation. When you just look around you see the beauty and the wonder of creation, and you see that God is a God of the miraculous. Amen. Psalm 8 and 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. We recognize just by looking at creation that God is a God who works miracles. Amen. Praise the Lord. We see miracles in creation. We see miracles just in mankind, just in our own physical makeup, our physical creation. We see the miraculous hand of God. Before you leave this service, you're going to take hundreds of breaths. And when you breathe in, that oxygen then eventually makes its way into your bloodstream that flows all throughout your body and keeps you alive. It's an amazing thing. Your physical body, the anatomy of mankind, is an amazing creation, an amazing miracle. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for those who can help times of sickness or problems. But the reality is this. He's the creator, and he's the one that created your body, and he's the one that can heal your body and can take care of you in your physical needs. We see the creator God. We see him even in the physical makeup of mankind. This morning we read from God's Word. In Sunday school, we read from the Word of the Lord. In the services, we've read from God's Word. And I just once again want to declare to you that this book is a miraculous book. It's a miraculous book. It has been preserved for thousands of years. It was written by dozens of different authors from all different spectrums of life, from different centuries and generations, all different kinds of backgrounds, and all wrote as they were inspired of the Holy Ghost to write. And as they wrote, then we have today this book that has been preserved for us, the Word of God, preserved for every one of us. It's full of many prophecies. As we've mentioned during this Christmas season, more than 300 Old Testament prophecies that spoke about Jesus coming as Messiah in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before he came, and it was all fulfilled in the birth of a little baby Jesus in Bethlehem. All of those scriptures were fulfilled by Jesus, and that's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. That's why Christmas is miraculous. Praise God. Because of all the wonderful things, the Old Testament prophecies, they predicted when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and every detail of the coming of Jesus was predicted in the scripture, and all of it was fulfilled. Praise God. Not only that, but God's Word is still alive today. This is a living book. It's not just something written by old prophets that have been dead for generations. No, this is a book that is much different because it was breathed by God, inspired by God. And so when we read it and we study it and we preach from the Word of the Lord, it is God breathed. That means it's living today. It has power and force today to bring about hope and life to people. And to those of you in this service today that you've come in and you're a little bit of a doubter and you don't really know if you really need Jesus in your life, let me tell you, you need to know the truth, and this truth can set you free. You need to know Jesus, and he's revealed to us through the pages of the scripture. Amen. Hebrews 1:1, it says, God, who at sundry times or various times in divers manners, various manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament. He said, but he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. That's the New Testament. He speaks to us through the word of the Lord. In the New Testament, it describes in the volume of the book, it is written of me. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all through the writings of the epistles, all the way through Revelation, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a message. It is a clear presentation of the life and the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. His word is a miracle because we have it and it can bring about changed lives. Amen. The Old Testament, as we've already mentioned, was all about Jesus as well. It was spoken in a couple of services back. We talked about Jesus in every book of the Bible and how that even when those disciples on the road to Emmaus were sad and downcast because Jesus was being crucified and all of their hopes were gone and they were downcast and defeated, and Jesus joined himself to them and began to walk along that dusty pathway with. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is with you even when you are sad and full of doubt and hopelessness? Jesus joined himself to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he even rebuked them because they said, well, haven't you heard all the things that have happened in Jerusalem and how that we'd put our hope in this man Jesus and how they've taken him and they have crucified him and all of our hopes are gone? And the Bible says that Jesus began to speak to them, and he went all the way back to Moses, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Praise God. He just went back and said, here in Genesis, this was Jesus. This was me. In Exodus, this was me. This was me. And he began to expound to them throughout the scriptures, showing them, this was me. I was all throughout that Old Testament, that was me being revealed. Praise God. Amen. Those same disciples, remember when they talked about the experience, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when we walked by the way, when he spoke to us? Our hearts were set on fire by the wonderful power of the truth of his word. Praise God. Praise the Lord. His word is powerful. Amen. I may spend a little bit more time on this one. The word of God is a miraculous book. When Jesus speaks, whenever he spoke in his earthly ministry, they were astonished at his voice, at his speaking. That he spoke, they were astonished at his doctrine in Luke chapter 4. For his word was with power. In John chapter 7, the officers, this was of the high priest and the Sanhedrin courts, who said, never a man spake like this man. Then in Matthew 7 and 28, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the disciples were astonished at his doctrine, talking about the Sermon on the Mount and the message that Jesus presented to them in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The way that Jesus spoke to them was powerful. And today, we hold in our hands the pages of God's word, and it's authoritative, it's powerful, it's anointed, it's living, it can change lives, it can illuminate your mind, it can transform your thinking. The word of God is powerful. It's a book of miracles. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everywhere we look, we see miracles. Everything about Jesus is miraculous. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 1. Even it was miraculous the way that he came into this world. He is miraculous. He's wonderful. He's supernatural. He's divine. And all of that summed up in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, born miraculously of a virgin. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that had never happened before, and it's never happened since. Amen. And it never will. This was a miracle that she was born. It was such a miracle that even Joseph, who was such a fine, upstanding, just, righteous man, who was espoused to her. The espousal period was similar to engagement, except it was more legally binding, requiring even a divorce if you broke off the espousal arrangement that had been made, usually by the parents. It had all been set, prearranged and preset up by the parents. But the Bible says that he was a just man. He didn't want to bring her. He had the legal right to bring her before the courts and bring her to the public square and have her stoned to death. He had the legal right to do that. But apparently Joseph cared enough about Mary. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to divorce her privately, set her aside, and remove her from his life. He legally, according to the law, could have done that. But instead, the Bible says that there was another miracle that took place. First, the miracle of her being with child of the Holy Ghost. And then the miracle of Joseph being convinced in a dream by a visit from an angel. Glory to God. The Christmas story is a miraculous story from Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of the accounts of the Christmas story. And so he was a just man, and it was this dream, this angelic appearance that appeared to him and convinced him, don't put her away, don't divorce her, go ahead and take her to be your wife, because what has happened to her is of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph was convinced. Praise God. He believed it, and he so believed it that it was spoken, that the angel said, this baby's going to be born, and when the child is born, this son is born, you're going to call his name Jesus. And for every Jewish man who had his firstborn son, he would always give him his name. That's even a pretty common practice today, for men to give their sons, their firstborn son, their name. I know everybody doesn't do that, but many do. I have my dad's middle name. My brother has my dad's first name. It's kind of a common practice for names to be carried on. And in the Jewish culture, it was almost an unwritten rule. You give your firstborn son your name. And so another miracle here was that he heard the word from the angel, and the Bible says that he obeyed the voice of the angel, and he named Jesus with the name Jesus, which means Savior or Savior of the world. Praise God. Amen. And that's pretty miraculous, isn't it? It is miraculous. The Bible is miraculous. Everywhere you look, it's a miracle. The Christmas story is a miracle. And Jesus' supernatural works all throughout his earthly ministry, everywhere he went. Not only was his speaking, his teaching, his preaching miraculous in that it had power and authority and impact upon whatever group that he was speaking to, but everything that he did was miraculous. As a matter of fact, John said in John chapter 21, there are so many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. In his earthly ministry, his life was full of the miraculous. Everywhere he turned, everything he did, there are some that are recorded in the scriptures for us, the miracles. But John said, I suppose if all of these were recorded, all the books of the world couldn't contain the miraculous acts and words and the wonderful things that Jesus did. John chapter 2, he turned the water into wine. Matthew chapter 8, he calmed the stormy sea. In John chapter 6, he fed the hungry multitude. In Matthew 14, he walked on the water. In the book of Luke, he healed the leper. In Mark 2, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. In John 4, he healed the nobleman's son. In Mark 3, he healed the man with the withered hand. In Mark 6, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead.
In Luke 7, he raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. In John chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. That's just a few in the Gospels of the wonderful works. But John said, listen, we don't have enough books. The world couldn't contain all these books if we wrote down all the wonderful works that he did. So he was supernatural. He was miraculous in his words. He was miraculous in his works. All of his mighty works were miraculous. Amen. Amen. And many of you here today, if we took the time in this service, I could ask you for testimonies. We often do, especially on Wednesday night, we hear testimonies and we hear about miracles. We hear about answers to prayer. We hear how God has worked in your life individually. And you can look back now. Here we are just about at the end of this year. You can look back over this year. And if you are honest about this past year, God has brought you through. And some of you, God has delivered you. Some of you, God has worked mightily and shown himself strong in your behalf. For some of you, he has healed your sick body. For some of you, he has provided for you financially. And the list goes on of the wonderful, mighty works of God, because we serve a God who works miracles. Amen. And of course, the greatest of the miracles, the greatest of the miracles is whenever a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ and they are born again of the Spirit. The greatest miracle takes place when there's a change of heart and a change of mind and a transformation that takes place in the life and the lifestyle of a person, and they are no longer a sinner. They are no longer full of darkness and evil and wickedness as far as their interests and their desires in this world are concerned. But now they live in a new world of loving God, loving people, loving to be used of God, loving to serve God, loving the Word of God, loving to worship God, loving the house of God. Everything is different when you become a child of God. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mysterious and a wonderful thing that God can touch a wicked, dark, evil heart and can transform that sinner and make them into a saint, but he can do it. And he has done it. For many that are here, for most that are here in this service this morning, there is a day when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and a miracle took place. You were born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. A transformation. Nicodemus had a hard time understanding this, because he said, I don't understand. How do I go back into my mother's womb? How can I be born again? And of course, Jesus explained to him, this is a supernatural birth. This is a spiritual birth. This is a new birth of the Spirit that takes place. And your life is changed from the inside out. Glory to God. Amen. And that's why he came into the world. The mystery of godliness is that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's in a nutshell what Jesus did, what he came to do. And you and I here today, we are blessed. We are greatly the benefactors of this wonderful, glorious message of Jesus. Amen. And what a miracle. What a miracle. Amen. To know him is to know the miraculous power of God. Amen. I wonder how many of you would just lift your hand just for a moment and put it right back down and say, in my lifetime, I have experienced or witnessed God's miraculous power. Amen. 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 That's a good majority here. It's a good majority. God has moved in your behalf, and he can move for you today. He can move for you this Christmas service here this morning and can change your life, and he wants to do just that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of the gospel that changes our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us and about our needs. And I pray, Lord, today for those in this service who may be in darkness, who may be struggling in their faith, having a tough time believing. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, you would break through and penetrate the hearts and the minds of people and convince them of their need of a Savior. Oh, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that the miracle of the new birth would take place today, this Christmas. Praise God. Lord, I know that's why you came. I know you came, Lord, seeking the lost. You came to seek and to save the lost. That's why you came. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this Christmas season. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. With just a moment, with your heads bowed, I just want to ask.